Let's stand today as we read our theme verse of this series of messages. And we'll pray for Children's Church also. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time of worship. And Lord, I ask that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may we be faithful, devoted people. Lord, I thank you for the Children's Church and everyone involved, Lord, in leading those little children to learn more about you. I ask blessings on them and patience and wisdom. Again, may we, your children in here, Lord, draw closer to you as we look at how we are to be devoted to your church. And may it be for the praise of your glory, because if it's not for your glory, we're wasting our time. So we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do live in troubled times, and we need to be devoted, faithful people in the times in which we live. There are many types of devotions, and we're faithful to many things. But the Lord calls us to be faithful to His church, to be devoted to His New Testament blood-bought church. Now, some people will try to tangle you up, and they'll ask you, well, what is the church? Well, we've learned from a little child about here's church, steeple, open up the doors, and there's all the people. Well, yes, that's very, very true. The church is the church is made up of people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. The church are the called out ones, the ecclesia. They're saved, they have been born again, they have been biblically baptized, and that is the church. 95% of the times in the New Testament, when it mentions the church, it means the local body of believers. A small percentage, about 10%, speaks of the universal church, which is all the believers of all the ages, and we will be together in heaven in worship of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We'll be worshiping Jesus and serving Him for eternity. Amen? Right now, you and I are called to be different, to be pilgrims in a strange land. This world is not our home. We are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind and be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be devoted to His church as born-again believers. So yes, the church is people. Also, the church is a place. Where are you at today? You're at the church. Church is a place. And it's a place where I knelt down one night and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. It was a place, it is a place that I was baptized, and more than likely you was baptized at the church, unless you were part of the time when you were baptized in the creek and stuff, but the church gathered together there and you was baptized. It's at the church where many of us give our vows to be faithful to one another till death do us part. It's at the church where people come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship with one another. The church is a very, very, very special place in the heart of God and in the heart of a devoted, faithful, born-again believer. And we are to be devoted. By the way, this is the last message of this series, so everyone say amen. All right, devoted, faithful people. And next week, Brother Jimmy Brantley is going to bring a message to us in revival. And I hope you bring a friend and you come to revival beginning next Sunday. A devoted life is devoted to the New Testament blood-bought church. I have lots of passages of Scripture, so let God be true this morning as we read His Word. And a devoted life is devoted to the church because Christ is the head of the church. You may think, well, Brother Evans is the head of Cooper Baptist Church. No. I definitely am not the head of this church. I'm a servant leader of the church. And I'm the pastor, the overseer of the flock of God here in the Pickering community. So I'm not the head. The deacon body is not the head. The Sunday school teacher is not the head. No one is the head of the church except one person, that is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church, and we are to love Him and to serve Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." So everyone say, Christ loves the church. He is the head of the church. By the way, let me read that. I misquoted that one, didn't I? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." So he is using the family as an illustration to describe the church, and the man's the head of the family. And in a family, if there are two heads, that becomes a monster. In the church, if there's two heads in the church, if it's the Pope or the pastor or the bishop or whatever you want to call the lead person, if that's the head, and if Christ is the head also, then you done created a monster, a two-headed monster. There's only one head, and that is Christ Jesus. He is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, turn with me there to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, speaking of Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So if you ever want to see God, you're going to see Jesus Christ. He is the image of the Godhead. Verse 16 says, "For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." So He is the head of the church. A devoted life, a faithful life, should be devoted to the church because Christ is the head of the church. Also, we should be devoted to the church because Christ loves the church. That's the verse I quoted to you just a moment ago, that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church. So if you and I are going to love Jesus Christ, we ought to love the things that Jesus loves. And Jesus loves you and I. Jesus loves Cooper Baptist Church. Jesus loves this place on this hill right here where He has saved many of you. It's where the church gathers together and prays and worships and fellowships and lifts up the name of Jesus as this steeple points to heaven. We, the church, Cooper Baptist Church, points people to heaven through Jesus Christ. And Christ loves the church, and He gave His life for the church, and we are to love the church as devoted people. Also, we should be devoted to the church because Christ builds the church. We have rainy seasons, we have dry seasons, we have building seasons, we have seasons where we mature and build in our own spiritual lives, and then the church grows as a result of us growing and maturing in the faith. If there is no maturing in the faith, then the church does not grow. If we don't mature in the faith, we may grow by numbers, but the church will not be growing. We may be busting out the seams, but unless Christ Jesus is lifted on high, then we are just people meeting together, and we're Cooper Social Club is what we would become if we do not lift the name of Jesus. So Christ builds the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says this. This is when Jesus asked the disciples, "Well, who am I?" They gave them all kinds of of answers. And then Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And we get this great response by Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says this in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. He did not mean on Peter, the first pope or whatever some call him, but on the faith of Peter, on the type of faith Peter had by confessing Jesus is the Messiah. He builds his church upon that type of faith. And he says, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. The true church, those who have faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one of God, Christ builds his church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read this passage of Scripture last Sunday as we are to be yielded to God the Holy Spirit. And he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Christ builds his church upon himself. He does not build his church on humanism. He does not build his church on heresy. He builds his church upon himself, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. There's no other foundation to build a spiritual life on than Jesus Christ. And Christ builds his church. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4, it says, coming to him, speaking of Christ, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men. You see, you speak of Christ Jesus and the things of Christ out in the world, and they will reject him. But he is rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are coming, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Your life is a sacrifice unto a living God. And it says, therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. And we read on, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. So God has saved you and I. He's building his church. He's building you and I. He is maturing us. And you and I are to live a godly life. That is doing good works unto God, is simply living a godly life so that you can share the gospel message. That's the reason that we are living stones. Our lives is a memorial, an offering, a sacrifice on an altar unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Only that we can present the gospel message is the reason we do it. If you're trying to live a godly life apart from sharing the gospel message, then you're not living the godly life that is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures of God. He works us in His church. He builds the church, and He builds us in such a way that we live godly in an ungodly world so that we can tell others about the light, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So Christ builds the church, and we are to live a godly, devoted, faithful life. So what should we desire to do for the church and in the church? Because we are the church. This place is the church that you and I have set aside times to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We should desire to give to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, while I'm turning there, one reason to have a financial study is to teach people to manage their money so that they don't worship money, but that they can worship God. Many do not tithe because they cannot afford to. They have everything the world has to offer. They got the jobs, they got the homes, but they got the credit cards. They got all the toys, and they cannot afford to tithe, to give back to God who gave them the ability to work, that gave them everything that they have, and they're not able to give. So come get out of debt. I know America is built upon credit. A godly life, though, manages their money, and their money does not manage them. So we should desire to give to the church. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Upon the first day of the week, give. How God has prospered you. Well, how much? Biblically, 10%. New Testament, your life. And when it's your life, you go beyond 10%. Once you get to 10%, you stop figuring it. You just give. That's the New Testament. And we give. God has blessed some of you so much. Shame on you if you don't give over 10%. And I'm not a liberal government type person. We give because God has in our hearts and gives us the desire through His Holy Spirit to give to the church and to give to spread the gospel message. You give because you voluntarily give. But we should desire to give to the church. Also, we should desire to worship and attend at the church. Hebrews chapter 10. Please turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 24. Everyone says the Bible. The Bible. Oh, y'all didn't say it loud enough. The Bible says. Everyone say it. I know I don't have a bunch of stories and great illustrations today because I have so much scripture to read to you, but let God be true. The Bible says this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Live godly. To love God and love one another. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. In other words, encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day, capitalized, the return of Christ approaching. Open your eyes. Now, I'm not talking of your physical eyes. Open your spiritual eyes. We are in a spiritual battle today for the hearts and minds of our little ones. And God's people, the elders in the church, has become worldly and carnal. No longer are you led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the authority of God's Word. The day is coming. Jesus is coming back. Be devoted to the church. He's coming. Judgment's coming. Oh, how we ought to be devoted in the attendance and worship at the church, because the day's coming. We should desire to study with the church. To study with the church. Everyone says the Bible says. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things I write to you. By the way, this is a pastoral letter. Written to the churches. It discusses church organization. But one primary reason these letters are written to the elders, to the leadership of the church, is to combat heresy, false teachings, to fight false teachings that was infiltrating the church. And he says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We should desire to study God's Word with the church. With the church. The pillar and ground of the truth. Everyone clear your throat at one time. Ready? One, two, three. Now say the church. At the church. Study with the church. We ought to, should desire to serve in and through the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you have great ability to teach. Some of you have great ability to sing. Some of you have great ability to do numerous things. Who do you think gave you that ability? Amen. Serve in and through the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, wish I could read the whole chapter to you in the chapter before this one and the chapter after it. But listen to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 23. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, one little group here and a little group there. No schisms in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, verse 28, in the church for the profit of all. We should desire to serve in and through the church. Oh, the preacher needs workers. Or the pastor needs this or that. I'm telling you this for your own good. God says He has given you spiritual gifts for the profit of the church to spread the gospel message. We are to serve in and through the church. Everyone says, the Bible says. You know, some may have titles in the church, but a title doesn't help you. It's if you're doing it, if you're serving in and through the church. So we are to be devoted. We are to be devoted to the church. Aren't you glad you was here this morning? You could say, hey, I was here. I'm devoted. How about tomorrow? How about then? Or the next day or the next day? How devoted are we then? Are you devoted to the church? There is no higher place to serve the living God than in His church that He shed His blood on the cross for. It's people and it's a place. No higher place. Everyone says that's Bible. Either you obey God or you're disobedient and the cornerstone's going to crush you. Crushed. Let's pray. God, we do thank You for all Your blessings. God, it's even amazing how it all works together. From the pastors, to the deacons, the teachers, to everyone involved, it's so amazing how the church works. How you call even someone like me without ability to speak, hard-headed, gets mad easily, yet you call someone like me to show your glory and your mercy and to show your grace to a world. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. God, if we're all honest, none of us are worth anything compared to your holiness and to your grace. Our righteousness is dirty laundry before you. So God, it's amazing how you can be glorified in a church. Forgive us, Lord, when there are schisms. When this little group is at odds with that little group, or this little group is better than that little group, forgive us. Help us all, Lord, to work for the benefit of all, that you may be glorified. It's in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, that we pray as a New Testament church. Amen.